Politics, the ex-Prime Minister. Boris Johnson is the latest, but what should ex-PMs do and how should they approach this strange role in public life? Backseat Drivers is at 8 o'clock. We'll change gear with comedy in a moment, and in his new series, Alfie Moore opens a case of theft on the policing front line. But is it an inside job? That's shortly. And speaking of tracking down villains, there's more sleuthing on BBC Sounds.
Most wanted podcasts on BBC Sounds.
Where is the missing Crypto Queen's billionaire scammer?
It starts to get very scary, very, very fast.
How did gangsters drug baron finally get caught?
He was taken completely unawares.
Why were Bern Wild's environmentalists labelled eco-terrorists?
For a long time, they were getting away with it, but that wouldn't last.
Uncover a new case while the dog drags you out for a walk. Listen to True Crime Podcasts on BBC Sounds.
So now on Radio 4, a new series of It's a Fair Cop, the show in which the copper turned comedian Alfie Moore takes his audience through a real life case. And this week, Alfie asks, have you ever stolen anything from work?
That's the sound that I need.
Hello, my name is Alfie Moore, and welcome to It's a Fair Cop. The show where you, the audience, are sworn in to face the same policing dilemmas that I faced in today's real case. I'm here to guide you as an experienced sergeant with the Humberside Police. Humberside, an area about 200 miles north, but we're recording this in this fabulous BBC radio theatre here in London as part of the Levelling Up programme. This show is about dishonesty in the workplace. According to a recent poll, more than two-thirds of UK office workers have admitted to stealing from their employers, and the other third work from home. Working from home is rubbish, isn't it? Having to steal out of your own fridge. My colleagues don't tend to steal out of the police station communal fridge because it's often used for a forensic sample overspill. The cost to UK businesses from employee theft is £190 million a year. Coincidentally, the exact annual budget of the Humberside Police, £190 million a year. Now, I'm not suggesting, of course, that we're funded by untrustworthy, lying miscreants. We're funded by the UK government. The maximum sentence for theft is, what do you reckon? Any offers? Maximum sentence for theft?
5 years.
Who says 10? What's your name, please?
It's Kev.
Kev, you're a biggish unit, Kev. You look like you've got a proper hands-on trade type job. What do you do, Kev?
I used to be a police officer.
How wrong can you be? So, oh, is that true, Kev? Which force?
I was Bedfordshire Police from 78 to 2000.
OK, all right, good for you, Kev. You think it's 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, OK. It's obviously gone down since you left, Kev. It's not that many now. Have we got any... I know it's a Radio 4 audience. Have we got anybody who's got a hands-on, manual-type, proper job in the audience? No, OK. I'm glad. Oh, over there. Okay, let's just speak to this chap over here. What's your name?
Nick.
Nick, what do you think it is, Nick?
I think it's 5 years.
Okay, well, we're somewhere in the middle, actually. The correct answer is 7 years. But what are the most common types of employee theft? Number five, we've got information, things like customer contacts. All businesses have some form of intellectual property. I'm concerned about my staff stealing my gags, but people tell me not to worry too much. At number four, we have payroll, ringing in sick when you're not sick, exaggerating expenses, clocking off early. Payroll theft is easy, and it's a slippery slope. I mean, I'm still on a late shift. At three, we have supplies, very common, let's face it. Who with access to the stationery cupboard would ever buy their own highlighter pen? Not one hand has gone up there. And at number two, we have stock, inventory. In 2018, a shop worker was convicted of stealing a total of £9,000 worth of stock from TK Maxx in Maidstone. And I think we all want to know the answer to one question. For her court appearance, was she wearing a pair of Christian Lacroix floral print jeggings in last season's colours? The number one most common employee theft is cash, actually, often from tills. Still, a little bit surprisingly, still a very flexible commodity. It's a shame that Ellen Davies, a post office worker in Swansea, didn't know that when she stole £19,000 worth of lotto scratch cards and won 50 quid. Thought I was unlucky. The judge sentenced her to 90 hours unpaid work, although she ended up doing double that because it was a rollover week. Before we start today's real case, let's look at some of your audience responses when we asked, have you taken anything from work that you shouldn't have? And I know that theft from employer is never funny, and that's why I know you won't laugh at this response from Steve, who says, I stole some high-strength industrial glue from work to fix my glasses and ended up spending 6 hours in A&E with my fingers glued together. Worst climate change protest ever. Next one up, ever taken anything from work you shouldn't have? Toilet rolls and tea bags every day for a year. Four rolls and a dozen tea bags. Yes, I work for a large Irish low-cost airline. Every day, each aircraft was given 8 rolls and 36 tea bags. They were never used by passengers or crew, and so they came home with me. So, 8 rolls and tea bags, you saw COVID come in, didn't you? Next one up there, have you taken anything from work that maybe you shouldn't have? Heathrow Airport computer program. Copied it onto a floppy disk in 1990. Did you get away with it? Yes, nothing's happened at the moment. This is like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, boring computer programmer. And who's this from? Oh, we've got a name. We've got Zeph on this one. What does Zeph tell us? Taking anything from work you shouldn't have? A tortoise. I used to work in a vet's many years ago, and the tortoise was brought in with a shell infection. The owner was unable to care for it, and so it was due to be put to sleep. Aww. She's put a sad face there, sad face. It's time to swear you all in as coppers for the show. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me, you're Nick Sunshine.
You're Nick Sunshine.
Time to begin today's real case, which starts with me in my police patrol car as I'm one word short of completing the quick crossword in under 10 minutes. And then the radio goes.
Tango Bravo 03, can you attend TWC Distribution Centre in Scunthorpe? Report of a theft.
I decide to bank the remaining 30 seconds on my quick crossword and attend the job. And I end up in the general manager's office. He's called Damon. I knew I wouldn't take to him as soon as I saw his knitted waistcoat. Manager Damon stood up to greet me, which was a mistake, as I could now see his trousers were cut above ankle length with no sign of a sock. Manager Damon had a firm handshake for a man in a cardigan. The undersocked, overconfident Damon oversaw logistics, security, and stock control. Although mobile phone stocks have been going down over a number of weeks, there's no public access, and so Damon didn't initially contact the police as he thought he could sort it out himself. Now, the police used to be too proud to let other people do the investigating, but these days, if there's an opportunity to hand over work to another agency, we'll grab it. We'll be on the phone saying, you've been stabbed in the eye with a pencil, but HR is dealing. We'll leave him to it. There's been a murder, but Walter from Neighbourhood Watch is attending the scene. Well, let us know how he gets on. Self-service is not just for supermarkets. If you're a victim of crime, have you noticed how we encourage you to go online to fill in your own crime report, carry out your own house-to-house inquiries? If you ask nice, we'll send you a white paper suit for the forensics. Need any guidance? There are reruns of Vera on the ITV Hub. I'm joking. Never take forensic advice from Vera. She's totally useless. I spend all my time shouting, "No, Vera! No! Put your gloves on, Vera! Walk around the crime scene! Leave the murder weapon alone, Vera!" Audience cops, this is your first vote. Who says we should investigate these mobile phone thefts? Who says we should? Okay, I think that is the vast majority. Let me just have a quick word with somebody. What's your name, please?
My name is Yvonne.
Yvonne, you're very well spoken. Yvonne, what do you do?
I work for an airport and airline IT company.
Okay, do you want to buy a floppy disk? You're going to investigate this. You think we should investigate it. Yvonne, can I ask for your rationale there, why you think we should take this job on?
Yes, not so much rationale, but Damon has called upon us and he wants our services. And so based on that,
okay,
we have no reason to disprove or disbelieve so far. So we investigate.
And the fact that it's a wealthy company, that doesn't come into it for you?
Come into it.
So who disagrees with that? Who says, no, we've got more important stuff to do. We're not going to take this job on. Who says that? Okay.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Dolores.
You sound really happy, Dolores. Really happy.
I had a glass of wine before I came in. Oh.
Good for you. So, you're not keen to take this job on. Can I ask you why?
Why doesn't Damon get himself some CCTV footage and catch what's going on himself? Why has he got to involve the police?
Okay, I like your thinking. I like the fact that we should be putting some onus on the company first and asking him these questions. This is one of the questions. We've got our online poll, our audience poll. Let me give you the results. And that is 88% online audience say we should be investigating, and 12% say no. And I think that pretty much reflected the mood in the room. You're both right, really, because I tried to combine getting involved without really getting involved. I'm not saying let them do all the legwork and then I'll take the credit. We've got a name for people like that in the police. We call them chief inspectors. But I did ask. I asked what had been done already, and Damon said closer supervision, CCTV, and the introduction of a whistleblower scheme. Now, here's my first question. Do the staff know that it's unacceptable to take things from work? Sounds like a silly question, but it's not always clear when something is a perk. The lines can get blurred. When does personal use of a company car become fraud? How late to work before it's payroll theft? When does a meeting become a party? Back to our real case, and we have phones being taken from the stock of a distribution centre. There are many investigative models, but I decided to use a tried and tested classic called the MOPS model. MOPS is a mnemonic which stands for motive. Nearly all crimes have a motive. Opportunity, we need to put the offender at the scene at the relevant time. Previous conduct, and finally, subsequent conduct, both suspect behaviour factors to consider. Now, that's a bit complicated, so let me break down the MOPS model using the real-life case of criminal damage and attempted abduction of the three little pigs. Motive. Does the wolf have a motive? Yes, it's hunger. Opportunity. Witnesses can put the big bad wolf at the scene. In fact, in three separate properties. Unless you were telling porkies. Previous conduct. Big bad wolf has prior convictions. Otherwise, he'd just be called Big Wolf. In fact, he already had a fine for huffing and puffing without due care and attention. In this case, no subsequent conduct, though his DNA was later matched in the outstanding cold case of the sudden disappearance of Grandma. Time to use our MOPS model in respect of our mobile phone thefts. The motive is likely to be financial gain, as Damon tells me that they're losing at least a dozen high-end mobile phones a month. Next up is opportunity. who has access to the phones. We have to focus on narrowing down the time frame of the thefts, and so I suggest he considers daily stock checks for that particular item. Like all good leaders, Damon is decisive in passing responsibility down the chain. He presses a button on his phone and very quickly a well-presented woman comes scurrying in. She's called Tina, his PA, and probably his waistcoat debobbler. Damon talks down to Tina even more than he's been talking down to me and commands that she sets up daily stock checks for that model phone. I didn't care for the way he spoke to Tina. It reminded me of my Uncle Colin. He had a strange attitude towards women. Now, my Uncle Colin actually died of misogyny. He drove his Audi A3 the wrong direction down a one-way street because he couldn't stand the female voice on his sat-nav telling him what to do. We don't miss him. Back to Damon, who hated taking stock check advice from me. I assured him that if he does his bit, when the time comes, I will do mine. I return to the police station, park the car up, and there's only one thing on my mind. I have never, ever managed to do the quick crossword in 10 minutes. I restart the stopwatch and read the final clue. Physical force intending to hurt, 8 letters. As the clock counted down, my mind went completely blank. As the seconds ticked away, I felt like banging my head on the steering wheel in frustration, but violence is never the answer. A few weeks later, Manager Damon calls me back in, and it's very bad news. He is still wearing the same knitted waistcoat. More phones have gone, but his daily stock check means he's narrowed the time frame down to one specific shift, Team 2. There are 12 operatives on Team 2. Come on, audience cops. The net is closing. We've got 12 suspects. What shall we do next? I double check with Damon and ask, are you absolutely sure there's no one else with access to the area where those phones are stocked? Only managers and the security guard, Eric, who Damon tells me has worked here 20 years and trusted with my life. Would I trust Eric, the security guard, with my life? I talk to Eric, I'm immediately suspicious of him, and I'll tell you why. Eric tells me he applied for the police but failed his assessment because he is colourblind. You'd be amazed at how many people have used that as an excuse, considering it only affects 4% of the population. It's a medical fact that there are 3 different categories: red-green colourblindness, blue-yellow colourblindness, and I failed my police entrance exam colourblindness. I mean, I know it's important. You definitely can't get in the London Metropolitan Police if you're colourblind, as you wouldn't be able to hit their racial profiling targets. Anyway, Eric tells me he has some evidence about the missing phones. Someone has utilised the anonymous whistleblower scheme, aka a Quality Street tin in the canteen, into which someone has posted a note which read, "Dodgy Dave is nicking the phones." Does Eric know someone called Dodgy Dave? Yes, indeed. He's always ducking and diving, scrounging fags, borrowing money. Hence his nickname, Dodgy. And where does he work? Dodgy Dave works on Team 2. Come on, audience cops, come on. I check Dodgy Dave on the police national computer and sure enough, he is Dodgy. Let's consider our mop's mnemonic. I think it's a mnemonic. I'm pretty sure it is because the Radio 4 audience love to fact check everything I say as I'm saying it. And by now someone has shouted, "That's not a mnemonic, it's an acronym." I get grammar checking heckles, instantaneous direct feedback. Me doing live shows in front of a Radio 4 audience is the closest I'll ever get to an open university course. Let's consider our evidence working through our MOPS mnemonic investigation model in respect of our suspect, Dave. Motive. The most common reason for acquisitive crime is financial hardship, and Dodgy Dave is skint. Tick. Opportunity. The phones are being taken when his team are working. Tick. Previous conduct, he's stolen before. Another tick. Subsequent conduct, we don't know yet. Audience cops, is it time to make our move? So on that note, who's going for the arrest, Dodgy Dave? I'm drawn to this gentleman here. What's your name?
David.
Why are you going to arrest Dodgy Dave?
You've got reasonable grounds to suspect that he's committed an offence, and I think that the fact that he's possibly got the phones, and if you give him advance warning of a voluntary interview, he might get rid of them before you can find them, would give you a decent basis for necessity.
Okay, what do you do?
I'm a barrister.
Okay. This is what criminal law is all about and subjective tests are all about. For me, we've not reached the threshold. I told Damon that. I said, I'm sorry, Damon, there's not enough evidence for me to arrest Dodgy Dave. He's fuming. So let's think about how we might catch Dave out. Very often, on the day people commit crime, they change their pattern of behaviour and do something they've never done before. They may take a different route to work, wear a different coat, or book a family table at Pizza Express in Woking. Or, of course, they might park in a different place to avoid security. I inquire if Dodgy Dave has a vehicle. Security guard Eric tells me he has a blue Escort, and I throw him a subtle wink and ask, are you sure it's not yellow? Let's return to the last bit of our MOPS model. Time to consider subsequent conduct. If Dodgy Dave is stealing the phones for financial gain, then he has to be selling them. Yes. Any ideas?
eBay.
I like that. You can get all sorts on eBay. In 2018, Nicholas Hanna stole £20,000 worth of specialist equipment from his place of work at Sellafield Nuclear Power Station using eBay to sell it on. Who to? Kim Jong-un? Did it say underneath, people who bought this item also search for tanks, missiles and evil undersea bases? I did an eBay search and someone is selling exactly the same make and model phone as the one stolen, a little bit cheaper than market value. The seller's name is Cheap Phone Charlie. If you're up to no good, it's wise to have a bland, nondescript name. In 2014, Kevin Smith, a toolmaker from Stroud, was convicted of stealing from his employers after he was spotted selling specialist cutting tools on eBay under the username My Boss is a Numpty. Good effort, Kev. Good effort, son. And you wonder why we catch people. There is no address or contact details for Cheap Phone Charlie. Just says seller does not accept returns. Any ideas how we can progress this inquiry now, audience cops? Any suggestions? Buy a phone. I do buy a phone, and no, I don't put the buyer's address as Scunthorpe Police Station. When it arrives, I dash straight down to manager Damon, and from the serial number, he's able to confirm it's one of the missing phones. Yes. I make inquiries with eBay, this time in an official capacity, and they gave me the real identity of the seller, Cheap Phone Charlie, and it is... It's not Dodgy Dave. It's not Damon. No. None of the above. It was... It was someone called Deborah Wilkes, who Damon told me is a middle-aged, unassuming woman who works in accounts. And I'm sorry about that. I realise I've broken all the international whodunit rules by throwing in a random, never previously mentioned suspect into the mix. But this is real life, and I'd never seen her before. Or had I? No, I hadn't. No. So, this is drawing to a conclusion. Decision time, audience cops. Let me ask you, who is arresting Deborah? Who says, no, I'm not arresting Deborah? Oh, nobody in the room. Have we got any hands up at all? No, okay, interesting, all right. Who says, yes, the rest of you? Obviously, I'd work that one out, and I didn't... Calculator. There you go. Damon wants me to do it now. Handcuff Shamer through the building. Anybody going to do that? No? Okay. I'm not going to handcuff Shamer. No, I'm not. I wait until she finishes work and then I arrest her in the car park. I search her house, a car, a works locker, recover four stolen mobile phones that I'm pretty confident will have her fingerprints and DNA on them. I start to plan the interview. I have a very strong feeling that I know what she's going to tell me, that she's been selling them for Dodgy Dave or someone else with shop floor access. How wrong was I? She had fooled everyone. She'd been stealing them herself, Damon had overlooked the fact that she was the designated person for checking the first aid boxes in the warehouse were freshly stocked, which she did once a week, usually when most people were at lunch. That's when she took the phones. And she always, quite deliberately, took them on days when Team 2 were working to make it look like them. That was her opportunity. What was her motive? A middle-aged, unassuming woman with a reasonably well-paid job and no police history. What happened to turn her into a thief? Addiction. 18 months previously, she'd seen a national newspaper ad offering £20 worth of free online bingo. And she thought, what can I lose? Turns out, pretty much everything. In the last decade, the gambling target market that's been growing exponentially has been women. Violence against women and girls is abhorrent, but offering them free bets to groom potential new addicts is just good business. Ignored by successive governments, blinded by the tax revenue. It's the action of a society devoid of any social conscience, and we should be ashamed. In interview, Deborah admitted to less than half of the number of the phones that had gone missing. It was still £4,000 worth. It's not uncommon for offenders to try to reduce their involvement in an offence, sometimes known as a Dominic Cummings manoeuvre. Let's tell you the end of the story. We are investigating a series of mobile phone thefts from a stock distribution centre in Scunthorpe, almost certainly committed by a member of staff. Tracing the stolen phones on eBay has led us to arrest admin officer Deborah Wilkes, who admitted stealing the phones to feed her gambling addiction. What happened next? Well, the first thing to happen is Damon sacked her on the spot. Quite understandable. Nothing to do with me anyway. He also insisted on her being charged to court, and when I told him it wasn't his decision, he was fuming. But he's not been that angry since his wife put his cashmere tank top in a 60-degree wash. The police decision was that Deborah received a conditional caution. Criminal Justice Act 2003, lovely bit of kit because we could be creative. And as in this case, Deborah had to attend sessions for her gambling problem. I'm pleased to say she completed the course and got her life back on track. Damon got even angrier a couple of weeks later when Eric, the security guard, searched Dotty Dave and found a couple of stolen phones in his car. That's where the other half of the missing phones had gone. Dodgy Dave was quite independently bang at it too. And so those people, those few people that were going to arrest Dodgy Dave earlier, probably a case well done, perhaps, though you may not have caught Deborah. Dave received a suspended sentence. Since then, he's been known as Very Dodgy Dave. Damon never learned to dress properly. And sadly, Eric, the security guard, died after driving through a red light that he thought was green. I started this story with a crossword, and so as a final tribute to Damon, I'm going to end tonight's show with a commonly used four-letter word that I've heard quite a lot in Scunthorpe. Ta-ra. It's a Fair Cop is written and presented by me, Alfie Moore. The script editor is Will Ing, and the producer is Sam Holmes. It was a BBC Studios production.